what we'd do without it. I've heard a lot of people make the statement, and no doubt made it in good, you know, good intentions, you know, that if this is all there was to it, was just, you know, this life, you know, I'd be happy to live it. Paul said we'd be of all men most miserable. If this is all there is to it, if there's nothing after, if there's nothing, listen, if there's nothing after, we'd be of all men most miserable. Because you could live this life to the full, and then gone. Nothing. You talk about a great vanity. That's a great vanity. Even if you lived 100 years or 150 years, what a vanity just to die and go back to the dust, and that's it. Nothing. But I'm glad there's more than that to it. If there's one thing that the devil fights me on as much as anything, I guess here lately, can I tell you this? The devil's constantly trying to tell me, you're a fool. All this Jesus stuff, there's nothing to it. That's what he tries to. Now, he's not gaining any ground. I'm just telling you what he tries to throw in my mind. The Lord's not coming. All this is, you know, this is all made up. The Jews made it all up. I'm telling you, he'll gnaw at you. He'll gnaw at you. And that just makes me know he knows his time is near. Amen. He knows his time is at hand. And the Lord is coming. Listen, I'm so glad that I don't have to listen to those lies being shun my way. I can open the scripture when it starts to happen, and I can read, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. I'm glad I got something from him that I can keep my hope in, that we can keep our faith in. Church, listen, we need to keep the faith. I think a lot of people are giving up thinking or feeling like that maybe they just ain't a whole lot to this, like we've been told or taught. But I'm going to tell you, it's going to be more glorious than we ain't even scratched the surface. Men of God have not even been able to scratch the surface of the glory that's going to be revealed. It's glorious. Amen. It's so glorious, Paul couldn't even write about it. Paul couldn't write about it. And I'm sure John didn't write all about it. Amen. Because there are things that Lord help, just in this Bible lets us know that there are going to be ages and ages and ages to come that Christ is going to show unto us the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us. Thank God we have a coming Savior. Amen. Bless the Lord. All right, if you've got your Bible, turn with me to the book of St. Mark. And I thank God. I can remember, almost remember, the first time that I read this passage of Scripture, Mark chapter number 10 and verse number 46. And they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more, a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. I want to preach out of these passages this morning on the day that blind Bartimaeus met Jesus of Nazareth. The day blind Bartimaeus met Jesus of Nazareth. In this scripture, when I look at this, I think about the person of blind Bartimaeus. He was known, I think, probably his family known, by St. Mark. For Mark calls him Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. He knew his father. There's not a lot of men introduced by their name and the name of their father unless they're closely associated or known. So this is not just any blind man. This is blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus. And he sat by the highway side begging. Now, I thought about this as I was thinking about the person of blind Bartimaeus. Now, in the situation that he was in, he could not work. He could not take care of himself. And he was blind. He was helpless, I guess is what you could say. And his life had come to that of a beggar. And he had begged so much that he's not in the city, he is outside of the city on the highway side. You see, our Lord was coming into Jericho. He came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho, didn't stay here long, not on this trip. He came into Jericho, and now he's going out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. They're following him. So his disciples are following him, and now a great number of people are following him. This is during the days of what is known as our Lord's time of a great healing. He was very popular. This was his popular ministry. That's what I was trying to get to. There was a popular era of our Lord's ministry when everywhere he went, people followed him. Everywhere he went, people brought their sick to him to be healed, their dead to be raised, the hungry to be fed. It was the time of popularity. So he comes into Jericho, and they are following him. And blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus,
sat by the highway side begging. Listen, there was nothing that this man could do to follow the Lord. He wasn't in any shape to follow the Lord. He could not see to follow the Lord. And blind Bartimaeus is a picture of the sinner. A sinner, he may want to try to follow the Lord, but they can't see to follow the Lord. There's just things you're not able to see and that you'll never be able to see. You can't see to follow him. You can't see which direction. You might could hear in which direction, but if everyone stood still, you'd never find your way to Christ. Why? Because he's blind. He's blind. He knows he's blind, and he's begging. He's begging, for that's the only thing that he can do. It's the only thing that's keeping him alive, so to speak. The coat that he had, that he made his bed with, his cloak, it was his own personal wealth and worth. It's the only thing that he had. He'd place it out before him, and people would throw that change. He could pull his cloak up to him and grab the change. And he'd know what had been given to him on any day. But when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, began to cry out. He had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Now, he was already begging, consistently begging. When he's talking about begging here, he's talking about how that he's continually begging from one person to the next. Sir, do you have anything? Ma'am, do you have anything for a poor blind man? He had his speech already made up in his mind. Are you listening? He was at a constant beg, getting people's attention. He wasn't going to just sit there and hope that people realized he was blind. No, he was letting everyone know, I'm blind and I cannot feed myself. Do you have anything to help me? He was constantly in a beg. But when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he quit begging. He quit begging those people. Why? He knew that someone greater than all of them had finally come to where he was. Come to near where he was. I mean, to realize that Jesus is more, much more than anyone else he had ever met. Could give him much more than anyone could ever give. Amen? I mean, to know that of a surety, that Jesus of Nazareth could do something for me that nobody else can do. I think that's what blind Bartimaeus knew. There he is. The Bible said he began to cry out in verse 47 and say, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. Now, that's a lot of people. There's a great number. And the Bible says many charged him. It wasn't just two. It wasn't just three. It wasn't even four or five. There was a great number of people that said, blind Bartimaeus, don't you bother Jesus of Nazareth. Bartimaeus, don't you start begging off of him. Bartimaeus, all you've been good at is being blind and begging, and he's not here for you to beg off of. Many of them charged him. I mean, they were saying, don't you dare say one more thing. Don't you say one more word toward him. Go back to doing what you was doing, but don't you cast your life on this man. But the Bible said he cried the more, a great deal. Now listen, there's times in his life again that he was at a constant beg. But on this day, listen, his constant beg went into a great deal of asking for mercy. I mean, more than he could have ever begged, he was crying, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me. Have mercy, please, Lord. Jesus, would you please have mercy on a blind man? Lord, would you please come by my way? I want the help that you have. Lord Jesus, would you please? Over and over and over and over, he kept crying out, Jesus. And the more they charged him. Can you hear the level of noise around his area getting greater and greater? He's trying to cry over them. They're trying to silence him. Finally, the Lord stops. Stops something. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Be of good comfort. Rise. He calleth thee. Somebody told him, be of good comfort. Listen, you don't have to holler no more. Let's get you up. He's calling for you. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. Now that looks like a little thing, but in studying that garment, that cloak that he had, you'll find in Exodus 22 and 27, God talked about people that if they gave money to the poor for usury, that God didn't want them to give money to the poor for usury. In other words, taxing them on something they loaned them. And the Lord said this, if you take their cloak, you know, as payment for that money to hold on to, God said, don't you keep it when the sun goes down. You make sure you get it back to him, because what else is he going to sleep on? That's more or less what God was saying to him. When God was giving them the command, what else is he getting? And I began to think about that. You know, I began to think about everything that it was that this, you know, cloak had meant. I mean, it could secure him alone. You talk about value. That it was worth enough to get alone. But that also it was crucial for his well-being. To keep him from freezing at night. It was his blanket. It was his bed. I don't know what all would crawl on the ground, but he could wrap himself up in that. This cloak, so it was crucial. And the Lord God even said, how's he going to sleep, keep himself warm at night if you've got his cloak, if you've got his coat? But blind Bartimaeus is willing to cast that garment away. That had the only thing that he had that was worth anything. The only thing that he had that was crucial to his well-being. He cast it aside to go to the Lord. He must have thought more of the Lord than he did his earthly need. He knew his spiritual need was much greater than his earthly needs. And that though him being blind, are you listening, was a physical thing, it was also a spiritual thing for blind Bartimaeus. Because he's going to follow Jesus when this is done. It's going to change his life. He's not going to be there begging anymore. You notice that? I mean, after he comes to the Lord and the Lord talks to him and says, what will thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Just straight. God, I need a life change. My life needs to change. My whole life. I'm blind. I can't see. Listen, do you not think that whatever it is in your life that's got you down on the highway side, that's got you away from the Lord, all your life is wrapped up in? That was his whole life. It was wrapped up in just begging. There he was. That's all he did every day. That was his life. What a life. What a pitiful life. That's it. That's his life. That's all there is to it. That's all there was for blind Bartimaeus. To go out each day, sat by the highway side begging. I don't even know if he come from anywhere. That may have been his spot. You ain't got nothing else to do. You ain't got a home to go to. You can't walk and see where you're going. And I do know in the Middle East, a lot of people will sleep right where dark catches them. Are you listening to me? Whether it's a field or on the side of the road, wherever that it may be, that's where they put down their cloak. That's where they cover themselves, and that's where they'll go to sleep. And that's his life. But he said, I need a life change. I need you, Lord, to open my eyes. I need my eyes open. Well, but Brother Mark, you know, that's just the Bible. And that, you know, the Lord, he don't do big things like that anymore. I want to tell you, the Lord can take any sinner in any situation and make a new creature in Christ Jesus out of it. Amen. Hurry the one. It matters not who you are or where you are or what you've done. Our Lord can wash your sin away. And he can take it from you. He can make you new. Yes, he can. I used to think there were things that the Lord just, it was too had too much hold on my flesh. He couldn't, until the day I got saved. Are you kidding? It was easy. I was as light. I mean, some things that I wasn't never going to do again. I knew it in my heart. I wasn't never going to do it again. I was never going to cuss again. I mean, there were some things that I did that I didn't do after God saved me. Why? He took it from me. He washed me from it. Amen? He took my blinded eyes and he opened them. And I saw Jesus. Are you listening to me? I say, he saved my soul. Saved me. Washed me, made me clean. And he did you if you're saved. And he can do the same for you. Listen, he can do something for you. The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Listen, Brother Brandon was talking about it some this morning. You've got to believe on him. And you've got to believe in him. Amen. And if you can believe in him and believe on him, amen, your faith in him. You see, it's him that does it. Your faith connects you to him. Your faith in him or on him, amen, is what will change your life. Christ sees your faith. Faith to believe in him. That he can, that he is. Amen? That he is what, Brother Mark? That he is the Son of God. That he is God the Son. That he is the Savior of the soul. that he is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. That he is the one that God sent into this world. Are you listening to me? To save all mankind. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Immediately he received his... Listen, he didn't go through a 10-step program. Christ, when he does something for us, it's done. Now, it would have been a shame for him to walk back over there and sat right back down and started begging again. That would have been a sin and a shame for him to have done that. But you know what he did? He didn't take his eyes off of Jesus. Everywhere Jesus went, that's where he went. I mean, he had his eyes fixed on him. If the Lord went right, he went right. And if the Lord went left, he went left. Amen? Wherever the Lord, he followed the Lord. He wasn't going to go in a different direction than what the Lord was going in. Hey, this man did a change in his life. This man did for him what nobody else could do. This man was of more value than a cloak. This man was more crucial to his life than a cloak. This man, Jesus, this man that he met finally, that he could not see before, and now he is seeing him. For the very first time, really seeing him. Can you imagine his face being the first face your eyes see? To open your eyes, there he is. Whew. Back in verse 46, I'm about done. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. He was at the end of the list. At the start of this chapter. And at the end of it, his life was changed greater than all. I mean, you talk about an experience, he had one. More than the great number that's following him. There's a lot of them just following and waiting for the bread. This man really got a change. This man really connected with the Lord. In and among multitudes of people that are walking among his disciples, there are those that by faith really connect with Christ, and he changes their life. Blind Bartimaeus was one of them. When he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You know what Bartimaeus was proclaiming right there? Everything that the Jews of that day, the priest, they did not want to connect him to being the Messiah. And blind Bartimaeus, even when he was blind, was saying, this is Jesus, son of David. This is the Messiah. He just as well to have said, Jesus, son of David. Messiah, have mercy on me. I think he knew, he believed that he was Savior. He believed in him that he was Savior. And if he believed that he's Savior, then he can save him. If he's Savior, he can save me. He can save me from my life of begging. He can save me from an everyday dusty road. He can save me from the rejecting multitudes. He can save me. He can save me if no one else can. He can save me. He's the Messiah. He's the Savior. He can change me. Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Have you heard the call? And they call the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. The Lord always calls. He'll call before the minister gives the call. He's calling for you. He's calling for you. Before I ever even said that, he's already been talking. Already been calling. Your blind, pitiful condition. You. Personally. See, he directed the Lord, thou son of David, Jesus of Nazareth, son of David, no doubt who he's talking to, who he's talking about, who he's crying out to. There's no doubt who Jesus is calling. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. Amen. Amen. Calling you in particular. A particular call from a particular person. There's none like him. He can change you. He will change you. Listen, Jesus did not call this man to not do something for him. When the Lord called him, he's going to do something for him. The Lord, you know what would have been a tragedy? For him and that caravan to just kept right on going through Jericho and right on out, and blind Bartimaeus never say one thing to get his attention. He didn't want that great opportunity. He didn't know many people. You didn't know when he might pass back through. Could you imagine sitting there on this dusty road? I guess it was the main highway. There may have been other trails in and out of Jericho, no doubt. But he's on the main one. And I don't know when Jesus will ever come this way again. If I'm going to get a shot, I better take it right now. Or I'm going to be like this. I'll die like this. He could have died in that condition. We had never heard, never learned of blind Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. But he took his opportunity that the Lord gave him. You say, what opportunity was that? That he called him? No, just that he was near. Jesus was near. When blind Bartimaeus began to call, he wanted the Lord to look his way. When the Lord's near, you better take that opportunity to get to call out to him. Lord, how about me? Lord, what about me? Lord, I need to be saved. Lord, I need to be changed. Lord, you saved others. I need to be saved. I need you to change my life. I need you to open my eyes. Can you do something for me? Will you do something for me? I believe you can do something for me. You're the Savior. You're the Savior of the world. You won't cast me out. If you'll come my way, I know I'll be changed. Are you going to take that opportunity today? Call on His name. He's sure been near to us. Right from opening song this morning, the Lord's been near to us. I want you to stand. I'm done. How about it?